And I'll tell you the chapter here in just a minute. Let me pull that up. But Proverbs is where we want to turn. I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 15, if you would, please. This is just a verse that I wanted to start with, and then after this, we're going to turn over to the book of James. But Proverbs chapter 15, that God has heard you as you go to Him. Now, again, if there's open and obvious sin in your life, you do need to deal with that. God's not going to hear us if we are walking in rebellion to Him. Well, then we're not even really praying. We're just speaking words into the air if our heart is in rebellion to God. But if our heart is not in rebellion to God and we're, to the best of our ability, confessing whatever sins He lays upon our heart and trying to walk in His ways, then I want you to know that He hears you. Here in just a few moments ago, I hope that you had that as your heart and your mind, understanding by faith that God does hear me. Turn with me, if you would, to James chapter number 5. The reason I share those things with you is I'm assuming that you struggle with many of the same frailties that I do. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you are, and if you don't tell me, I'll just feel bad, okay? But my feelings, but on God's Word. To not stand upon, well, it seems like things are going this way, therefore it must be good, or therefore it must be bad, but rather what does God's Word say? So that's why I share these things with you. Because Satan, I believe, does not want us to do what we do tonight. He knows that he can fight us and stand against us easily on our own. But if we as a church will get a hold of the reality that God answers prayer, and when we have a need or needs, that we come together and we pray over things together, seeking God's face so that God will work. If we'll ever get a hold of that, I believe that Satan trembles at that thought, because not that he's afraid of us, but he is afraid of our Heavenly Father, who responds to our faith in Him in prayer. Pray, thank you for the privilege. You've given it to us, and it is a wonderful blessing. But now, Lord, tonight, as we look into your Word, we want to be in obedience to this passage of Scripture. We want to do it right. And Lord, we're coming to you in simple faith, not thinking that we have any special magical powers in our great words. But Lord, we believe that you do great things. And that even as we read in Proverbs, that your ears are open to our cry, that you are listening to the prayer of the righteous. Lord, we're coming in simple faith. We are just children. Spirit, Abba, Father, the elders of the church involved in. This is something where you need to bring it before God's people and ask them to pray for you. And that's happened in this case. That the individual that we're talking about, that we'll pray over at the end of the service, our dear brother, has come to me and said, hey, that verse says that we should do this, and I believe God wants me to do that. And then, of course, it says that the elders of the church, that would mean those who are the elders in the faith. In our case, we often think of them as deacons. It doesn't necessarily have to be just deacons, but that would be the idea, right, of the spiritual leadership of the church, that they would pray over this person, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I want you to notice that it does mention using oil. And so in obedience to that tonight, we're going to anoint our brother with oil. And I hope everyone here understands we haven't gone charismatic, okay? Choose to. But I find no indication in God's Word that something happens to the oil as it becomes dedicated in this way. I believe that that is a picture. It is an illustration of what God has showed us in the Scripture. The oil oftentimes is an illustration of the Spirit of God. And we understand that if our brother is going to be healed, it's going to be by the Spirit of God. That God Himself is going to be the one who did it, which, by the way, shouldn't be a surprise, because the Spirit of God was involved in creation in the beginning, wasn't He? And so, yes, the Word of God and God the Father, all three persons of the Trinity were involved, but that is a picture of the Spirit of God. And then as the elders of the church come and they anoint him and pray over him, by the way, that is the representation of another member of the Trinity. So we're praying to God about it, but just in humble obedience, we're coming to you believing that we're coming in the name of the Lord Jesus and we're asking for healing. Boy, what an amazing thing.
Then notice it says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. So when we anoint someone with oil in the name of the Lord, let me say, it is not a guarantee that the person will be healed because they've been anointed with oil and because the church has prayed. But it does mention that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. What that is a reference to is this. A prayer of faith is when, as we pray, when God causes us to be able to agree together on something, and that we're praying in the name of Jesus, not just with that title, but that the Spirit of God blesses the examine himself. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And we could go on with the verse, but talking about the Lord's table, when we eat the Lord's table unworthily, in other words, we come to it with a frivolous attitude, as if I'm not going to examine myself. I'm not going to worry about whether or not there's sin. I'm just going to, God will let it go. It'll be all right. I'm going to partake in the Lord's table. According to the Apostle Paul, under the Spirit's inspiration, as he's writing himself, in other words, you're condemning yourself. And for this cause, what does it say? Many are weak and sickly among you. So in the Corinthian church, there were many that were passed on and many that were just sick because they were taking it frivolously. There's one example of a time when the sins will be forgiven. But look at what it says in verse 16. It goes on. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So part of the whole thing is we need to confess our faults one to another. And that would be a good thing for all of us to do anyway. By the way, it doesn't say confess your sins. It doesn't say, you know, the pastor ought to build a booth and start taking confessionals, okay? That's not what it's talking about. But what it is saying is that I ought to be humble enough to be able to go to a brother of mine and say, brother, I'm struggling in this area, and sometimes I even wonder if maybe some of the afflictions that I'm seeing are passing our faults one to another. We need one another. And one of the things Satan wants to do with you and with me is to set for a general, you know, blessing. Lord, bless the Shirkalises. Well, that's nice. Not a bad thing to ask, but I'd sure like to be a little more specific than that. That's what effectual means. Pray for something that is specific, that will help, something that will make a difference. Ask God for something, that effectual, and then fervent. That means it has a fire, it has some passion behind it. And by the way, again, I'm as guilty as the next person, but that's a lot of what we're missing in our prayers a lot of times is we're not fervent about anything. There's nothing really in our fat and happy American society. There's nothing really that we need. But God wants us to pray with fervency, with fire, with a burning desire. God, I've got to see this. God, I really believe this is what you want. That kind of prayer avails much. It gets a lot done, is what that's saying. They shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The reminder that you're given often from this pulpit is that as we meet together, in Jesus' name, he's here. He is here. It's a precious thing. Jesus meets with us here. That's why it's important that we take it seriously, because he does meet with us. But why is that important? Well, one of the things is that he answers our prayer. Note of what's going on here, because Jesus is here. And that as we pray together, that God the Father is inclined to hear, because I'm not together with my fellow members of his body. He promised he would be in the midst. And the whole context of that is in the context of a prayer meeting, that he's here. Man, wouldn't you love to attend a prayer meeting where Jesus was? Well, he is every time we meet in his name, right? He's there, and I believe he's praying with us. Now, here's the other thing I would have you note. Again, I've shared this with you before, but it says that if two or three is touching anything that they shall ask. The word agree is not just, okay, you know, Brother Clint, what do you think we should pray for? Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's pray for that. That's good, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the idea of the word agree here. It's as we're praying together, if there is a harmony in our prayer. The word behind it, as I've shared with you before, is a Greek word that is related to them. Have faith in God. And he said that because, by the way, he had just cursed a fig tree and it withered quickly. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But the first one is in verse 24, desire. You know that we can pray for the things that we desire. Fred went up to Reedsburg and I came here. I cannot tell you why or why it was that time, but as I've shared with you before, there you go, Abigail, thank you. As I've shared with you before, you remember that passage in Song of Solomon where the bride is talking about her groom who's seeking for her, and she sees him through the latticework and then he's gone. That was one of those times that Pastor Fred and I would talk, and it was as if we could reach out and almost touch God. He was so close, and the answers to prayer were one after another, after another, after another, after another. And he and I both knew this is what God wants. It's so obvious to us, and it's not always that way. But during that time, there were things that I'm sure about that, and he would agree. And so we would take it to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, mountains. Or using the word of God, the Spirit of God says this. And when he does that, we can pray knowing that we have what we asked. But there's another word that I would have you note, and that is in verse 25, forgive.